Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Deborah Haywood and actresses Joanna Scanlon and Lily Newmark, who are here with the... I heard it a giggle. Did I say the name wrong?
No.
Goodness gracious. I know, it's a very structured part of the interview. But you're here presenting a great film. Watched it last night and thought it was fantastic. Called Pincushion. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's so nice to be here.
We've only got one microphone, you know.
Hello, Fred.
All of us. Whoever that is. So anyways, the first question is kind of the obligatory question, and I'll ask you as the director of the film. Would you maybe introduce the film for our listeners and tell them as much about the story as you'd like? And this is a tough one, all right?
Yeah, it is. The film is called Pincushion, and for me, it's a love story between a mother and daughter. It's a mother and daughter, played by Lily and Joanna here, moved to a new town, and as they both have difficulties making friends and adjusting, and as their journey carries on, Iona starts making friends and separating a bit from her mum, and her mum starts to
break down.
I mean,
yeah.
But then it's a breakdown amongst a whole community as well, isn't it? It's a kind of story about the effects of... Although you think of it as it's like more social realist type, looking at, you know, the effects of bullying and the effects of people being horrible to one another for no good reason and picking on people. Both mother and daughter go through that. But it's actually also very magical, and lots of extraordinary kind of fantastical things happen. So it's not actually a grim kind of version of that story of people coming to a strange place and becoming victimised, and also finding their own relationship breaking up as a consequence of that.
It's a fairy tale.
That's right. I was going to say, because some fairy tales can be very, very harsh.
Yeah, it's so a fairy tale.
It's a, you can say
it. It's a fucked up fairy tale.
There you go. Putting sort of, you know, fantasy and the real world, this contrast is pretty harsh. I mean, it can be quite brutal. Where did that kind of come from?
I think because when I was at school, I was bullied, and to comfort myself, I used to retreat into fantasy and imagination, and, you know, where I'd like... I remember this one girl I used to be really, really awful to me. So I used to like just kind of switch off, and I used to imagine that I was in the forest, or, you know, in the local woods, and that I'd tied her to a tree, and that was beating her with a stick, and, you know, stuff like that. And I think I still do it now. I think it's a coping mechanism. So if I'm in struggling or whatever, I kind of go into a nicer space in my mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, I read a lot about repression, this concept of repression, and how that can come out in an unexpected way sometimes. So there's a lot in that. And that's why I was mentioning before the interview as well that Emile Zola, I was reminded of, as well as the fairy tales that can be brutal themselves, I mean, sometimes very, very violent. But as well as
that, I like that though, don't you?
That the world can be brutal and
hostile. No, I just think it's, you know, I like it in story. I think it's...
Well, I like it in stories, and I also sort of like it in real life if it also has a certain kindness underneath it. I think, you know, one of the reasons why I like Pasolini also is because he could appreciate the people that can show that there's a bit of hostility in them, but also if it's very human. But it seems to me like in this film there's also a lot of, like, fear, anger centered around something, things that are very materialistic, so I guess that's very real, of course. We live in these times, but also there's a sense of timelessness about the movie that I could definitely appreciate. But going back to the real world aspect of things, I did want to ask Joanna and Lily whether you experienced something like that in your real life, and whether you took that in with you in your performances.
Well, that was the weird thing about auditioning for the role in the first place. I wasn't given the script, I was just given a few sides, like dummy sides. They're like loosely based around what happens in the script, and I thought, this is weird, this has happened to me. And I was just quickly briefed on the film. They told me it was about a mother and a daughter relationship, but in a different way to how it's usually told. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Me and my mum are really close, and I've experienced whatever is happening in these scenes. And then when Deb wanted me to play the part and I was given the script, it was strange. And I met Deb and I was like, this is weird. I'm not joking, but I've actually had all these experiences that you've written down in this script. And Deb and I spoke about it later and she was like, yeah, I just thought you were lying to get the part. And I was like, no, I never tell anyone this, but I've been through everything that you've been through. And I really, really want to tell this story because it's so important. To show that you can come through the other end, and you know there is a release at the end of it, and it doesn't always have to end badly.
What about you?
Well, I mean, as Lynn, I'm playing a mother, but I think I'm playing a mother, but she's still an individual and a human being in her own right, and she feels, I think, at some level, deeply, deeply inadequate. And that's sort of, instead, most people feel deeply inadequate, I think. But
you're right, yeah.
But they also find ways to cover that up. And somehow Lynn hasn't found that way to cover it up. It's just totally visible. It's like a mollusk without a shell. And I guess that's where if I was going into anything impersonal, drawing from personal experience, I think it would be in my youth how much I felt I didn't fit in. Not, you know, that I was not beautiful, that I wasn't going to get a boyfriend, that nobody would love me. Those sorts of feelings were really dominant in my life for most, you know, for years and years and years, probably till I was like 40 or something. Yeah. And I kind of sort of was thinking of Lynn as that inadequate parent, the person who's a parent who's supposed to be able to guide and protect, but actually hasn't got the ability to do so because she hasn't grown and matured in her own strength.
Yeah, yeah. She still feels insecure, so she's somehow, you know, transmitting that.
And she reverts to this cuddly, lovey, baby language world of animals and children and cuddly toys and lovely ornaments, and that's her only safe place, and it's a lovely, lovely, lovely place to be.
Yeah.
And when it's threatened, it's, you know, it's so sad.
It is. It's very sad, but it's also very real. And now I'm just wondering, Deborah, if you knew that you were writing something that was very real, because also going back to the way in which you mix sort of, you know, fantasy world with realism, you're writing, there's some sequences there that seem to have happened to a lot of people, including myself, and I've definitely witnessed very, very similar things, almost identical things. But did you know that?
Have you? What, did I know that you'd experienced identical things? No, I didn't, Mark.
Not you, but the general us.
I don't know.
Especially in this side of the world, because problems change everywhere. But I think that there's definitely some real things in this movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think all of it came from a real place. And I think what I was trying to do was get my reality onto the page without bullshitting. So I was like, saying how I experience life. This is me, which makes me very vulnerable, and that's why I think it's quite scary to show people. But at the same time, if you're not going to be honest and say, this is how I experience life, this is me, this is how I've, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I see, this is the feelings that I feel, then you know, there's no point in making it, is there?
But how do you stop the bullshit from ruining your movie, basically?
By
bullshit I mean a lot of different things. Like, we can talk about how the film industry can interfere as well. We can talk about how the real world interferes. We can even talk about how if you watch a movie at a bad screening, it can indirectly interfere it because of things that are beyond your control. But while you're making the movie, do you have that control? Do you feel like you have that control?
No, I feel like
I feel like I surrounded my people with people like my people, people that I love, people that love me, people that I felt connected with, people who like the script, who connected to the script, like, in a real way. And then just, like, I always think belly knows best, so just listen to your belly. If that's pincushion, that isn't pincushion. So, and I think it tells you, everything tells you. It's just like, if you can get into that place where you're listening to your belly and just thinking, do I want this, you know, thing in because it's going to look good, or is that, you know, do I really feel something about that, and is it telling me that that is, you know, for the film? I know that sounds a bit wanky, but I think it is just like listening to your belly and going with your belly rather than listening to, like, the bullshit, right, or you know, your own inner critic or the voices or whatever. And right, I think, you know, just making everything with love and being loving and respecting everyone that you work with and everything that you work with. And I don't know, that's all we could do, isn't it? Just like try, and it's like we all, like, held hands, like, took a deep breath, held our noses and, like, jumped in and, you know, like, I hope that the water wasn't, you know, didn't freeze our tits off.
You wanted to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Deb took us all to her hometown to shoot it. And although you don't get the sense of, like, you know, it's not the sort of, like, we're going to the specific place, there's still lots of the place in it. And the fact that we went there, I think, and we were isolated from the bullshit completely whilst we were there, and we were involved with a kind of other world with people who had whole lives that I'd never even knew about, like being looking after and breeding canaries, that kind of thing, that was just transporting. And so I think you protected us a lot, and you built us a little wall around it. So,
well, we all protected each other, didn't we? I think
and that setup of being in that place, exactly, we were in a bubble, and it was nice. It was a nice bubble.
Did you feel that protection as well? Did it help you?
Yeah, we were in a bubble until Trump was elected. That broke the bubble.
That's funny.
While we were filming.
It's funny. That's the way a lot of people seem to think of this festival. It's inevitable. I think it's something that also kind of helps you look at your film in a different light. Ben Cushion, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Matt and Fred.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.